Welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. The September book giveaway was a tremendous success, and I will have them in the mail by the end of the week. Please don't worry if your name was not chosen, since you will have a little something in the mail as well. There will also be another book giveaway announced next week that I will be giving away for Thanksgiving. I would like to thank the following supporters for their continuous support: Dana Wilkins, Chantel Dubois-Nishiyama, Peyton England, Angela Bowen from the Looking Back on My Wonder Years, a Wonder Years podcast, Anne Quinn, Dottie Cashin, Suzanne Holland, Spunky Cheek, Leah Mitchell from the Retro TV podcast, Laura Solarin, Kim and Jack Lair from the Unsolved Mysteries Rewind podcast, Chris Hassler from the VHS Rewind podcast, Stacey Keller, Matt Mercier, Dean Butler, Gerald Lang from the OSI Files podcast, Ginny Comer, Jeannie Schneider-Mitchell, Jeff Griffin, Julia Monin, Laura Furman, Megan Parker, Melissa Gilbert, The No Agenda Podcast, Rebecca Harris, Sherry Benner, Susan King, Teresa Trapp, Valerie Williams, Whitney, Julia Jin, Chris Cooling from the Forgotten.tv Podcast, Don Roberts, Samantha Larson-Randall, Max Duration, Liz Sirha and Aaron Wortman, Brian S., Bobby Young, and Brenda Worsley. Thank you again for your support. If you would like to support Walnut Grovecast, please visit patreon.com/walnutgrovecast. Without further delay, please enjoy the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you're living in 1863, Walnut Grove is a place. My name is Mark, and I'm going to stop this music right now. And I'm going to welcome to the show, back to the show after a bit of a hiatus, Susan King. How are you, Susan?
I'm fantastic. Glad to be back.
Thanks for taking the time to hop on the old computer machine and talk about a little bit of Little House on the Prairie.
Yes, never get tired of that, ever, yeah. Ever.
How can you?
Nope.
No, now, I just remembered something. I meant to bring it up in the past, 100 episodes, is there's this, rumor going around about when the girls are running down the hill in the beginning of Little House on the Prairie, mm-hmm. that when poor Carrie falls, mm-hmm. that there's a string, there's a rope. Have you heard about this?
No, I just heard that all the flowers on the hill were fake and they were wired. And that's what she tripped on, was one of the wired flowers.
This is the conspiracy I'm hearing about. But from what I understand, it's completely untrue. 100% untrue. I want to just put it away and get the bellhop here to get my luggage. Take it away. It's gone. It's fake. It's fake
that's
news.
That's right. It's fake news.
It's fake news. I think it is. I don't think it was a wired flower. But I could believe that it is. There are some fake flowers, maybe?
Yes, there are. I've even heard them say that in some of the people on the show, stars of the show, that there were wired flowers on the hill. And you can see if you, it's a flower, but they had to have them wired so they could stick them into the ground. And she tripped. And actually, you can kind of see it if you slow that down and really slow it down.
I don't think it is. I got to tell you, I think it was just her being a clumsy kid falling.
I can go with that. Better than the rope story.
well, heading back to 1880.
Yes. We're talking 40-year anniversary of this episode in January. Oh, my stars. 40 years.
Well, no, it'll be the 41st this January, but it is already 40.
Yes.
That's crazy, though.
My God, I'm so ancient.
Welcome to the club. So, so this originally aired January 14th, 1980.
Yes.
And it took place in 1880. Somebody wrote, I read something online. It took place in 1881. It's like, what are you arguing? What are you arguing?
It's hair splitting.
It's hair splitting. These people are a little bit insane.
Just a tad, but it's my favorite season. Yay.
What is the name of this episode?
This episode is Child Please. Whatever happened to the class of 56?
Is that the longest title, do you think?
It is. Yeah, whatever happened to the class of 56?
Not a great title.
That's kind of strange.
I don't know. It was a very strange episode. It's a beautiful episode to watch. It's visually really fun. You got some punches, you got some drinking, you got some.
Right. Well, Mike's directing it, so it's just like, you know, Charles is going to get to have a savior scene. You know, somebody's going to get punched and some woman's going to come on to him that he's going to, you know, push off. And yeah.
Spoiler alert. No.
It's a Mike Landon directed episode. At least there's always a guarantee of a punch.
But this is the Charles that we love. This is the, this is the farmer Charles. This is this is the Charles that once he's in the city, he turns up the farmer thing, I think.
You know, that's true.
Yeah, I think so now, too.
Oh my God, that is so true. Just like the episodes when him and Carolyn, or maybe it's in this episode, the one where he doesn't want to get in the elevator because it's a bot. Yeah. It's just like. Yeah.
We'll get to it. Yeah. There's so much to cover in this episode. So in the beginning of, I do want to know, you do have a bit of news. I don't know if you want to make it public. I don't know. You don't have to. We can just move on. Move on to the clip.
Okay, let's move on to the clip.
All right.
No, I can tell.
We can. You know what? When you're done, you know, later, if you're like, you know what? Let's just eliminate that. I can pull it out, you know.
Well, while I've been on hiatus, I done got myself engaged.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. At my old age. Yep. Just goes to show you it can happen to anyone at any time. Well, so
there is a proposal in this episode, which is probably the best proposal that we've seen on the show. It even trumps the one that Almanzo had laid down and stolen Beth's art. Yeah. So here we go. We're in the schoolhouse and we're having a Grange meeting, you know, local Grange meeting. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to play this. You know, Charles is up there and he's giving one of his, you know, golly darn amazing speeches. We're going to save so much money by creating this co-op. I'm going to talk a little bit about what the Grange is in a moment, but just to get into the clips. I'm going to play Charles. He finishes his speech, and there's only one more thing really to do here.
The last thing we have to decide is who we're going to send to the regional convention in Milwaukee to represent our Grange.
I don't think there's any question about that. All those in favor of sending Charles Ingalls to represent us, say aye.
Boo. That's what I would do. I would say no. I'm looking around this room. I don't see one person I recognize. I'm taking a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
Maybe one guy. Nobody. But yeah, I mean, of course, they love Charles. So
the grips.
It's unanimous.
Standing in.
Oh, my God. So it's great news. You know, getting to leave town, this is awesome. So Charles comes running on home. He has some special news to share with Caroline.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Papa. Charles.
Carolyn. Guess who's going to Milwaukee?
No need to guess. You are.
That's right. And so are you.
Oh, Charles. Oh, you know I'd love to, but I can't.
Oh,
what? You can't. What are you doing? You're
going to feed the chickens.
Right. The chickens are not going to feed themselves. I think they could. I think if you leave out enough, they could feed themselves. Insane.
Yes, you can, because the Grange is going to pick up all the expenses. You know, Albert Hanfine can take care of everything while we're gone.
Well, sure we can, Ma. We've done it before.
Well, what about Grace when they're in school?
I have already made arrangements with the Garveys. When the children go to school, they're going to drop Grace off, and Alice will take care of her for the rest of the day.
Alice? I don't know. She's a pest, you know.
Yeah.
So
don't go and don't let her take Grace in close to any glass windows.
No.
All taken care of. Oh, let me see. Got a letter for you right here. Dylan Hyde.
Dylan Hyde? I haven't seen him since the day he went to college.
Who's Dylan Hyde, Mom?
Oh, just the Grand Master of the National Grange, that's all.
Now, people are going to say, what is this Grange everyone's talking about? And I got an idea of what it was. It's kind of a union of some sort for farmers to buy seed or something. So
that's
I looked it up. The Grange, which is officially named the National Grange of the Order of Patrons of Husbandry.
Oh, my.
Is a fraternal organization in the United States that encourages families to band together to promote the economical and political well-being of the community and agriculture. The Grange, founded after the Civil War in 1867, is the oldest American agricultural advocacy group with a national scope. The Grange actively lobbies state legislatures and Congress for political goals, such as the Granger laws to lower rates charged by railroads and free mail delivery by the post office. So, the Grange is still around. In 2005, the Grange had a membership of 160,000, with organizations in 2,100 communities in 36 states. It's headquartered in Washington, D.C., in a building built by the organization in 1960. So, there you go.
Shut up. That's what I was going to ask. Are they still around? So, wow.
Let's just throw it out there. Charles Ingalls is practically a founding member of the Grange. No, he's really not. But I think we do get to see a number of people who you could consider to be founding members of the Grange.
There you go.
So, all right, let's go on and let's read this letter, Caroline.
He was the richest boy in Concord. Or rather, his father was. Handsome, too. All the girls had eyes for him.
You too, Ma?
Oh, no, Laura. Your father was much handsomer. I only had eyes for him.
Oh, right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Charles. It's an invitation.
Kind of invitation?
To the 25th reunion party of the class of 1856 in Milwaukee, the last night of the Grange Convention. Oh, it'll be such fun to see all my old friends.
Oh, you didn't have any friends. No, so I looked it up, and the real Caroline, this all kind of falls into order. She was born in 1839, so she would be 17. In 1856. So.
That's good. They did their research.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
Thank goodness, right?
Then you are going to go.
Oh, I wouldn't miss it now for the world.
And that's where you get a hailstorm and the house gets knocked down and the episode. But
we have to cancel the trip, but oh well. I can see Milwaukee on a picture postcard.
So we get into the mercantile and we have Harriet wearing my favorite Harriet outfit.
Yes.
This Kelly green and black outfit.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a pretty classic Harriet, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Why in the world would it? Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it. But
I do have a question about something, and it seems to be creeping up every once in a while. So when I get to it, I'll pause it.
Thank you, Harriet.
Yes, you have a real nice day.
That was Mrs. Whipple.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Caroline, I'm so sorry to have kept you waiting.
That's perfectly all right. I just got here.
Oh, well, now that you are here, what can I do for you?
I have a list.
Uh-huh. Oh, good. Oh, my, Caroline, you have such fine handwriting. I do admire people with a fine hand. You know, Mrs. Foster was just in, and she was mentioning, what a fine hand.
So it's not Mrs. Whipple, I'm sorry, this is Mrs. Foster. Wait, wasn't it Mrs. Whipple who was in there? I don't know.
No, I think it was Miss Foster.
Mrs. Foster is the one who works at the post office, right?
Yes.
Yeah, then I'm mistaken. Sorry about that. Now, This is something that seems to creep up every once in a while, where people read other people's mail. Doesn't mm-hmm. seem. I don't know. I guess it was just okay to do back then because it just seems so strange to me.
Yeah, Kezia made a profession out of it with the steaming teapot.
But you know, Caroline's envelope was sealed. You know. So I'm just kind of wondering what's going on here.
No, I'm sure that there was a return address on there and it said Dylan Hyde because Harriet's fixing to, you know.
But
well,
she's,
what the world, you know.
Well, listen to what Harriet says.
Dylan Hyde has.
Dylan Hyde?
Yes. Apparently he wrote to somebody here in Walnut Grove and she mentioned the fact that he has a way with a pen.
Really?
Yes.
I guess it could be the return address. I mean, they're making such a big deal about this.
Yeah, I've always just assumed that the envelope said Carolyn Quiner or whatever, and then it said Dylan Hyde in the, you know, upper left-hand corner.
If somebody said this about me, I think I would be like, what's wrong with you?
Of course, she didn't tell me who the letter was to or anything.
It was to me.
Really? Oh, my.
What did he say? I mean, why on earth would he be writing to you?
Oh, well, we went to school together. He was writing to invite Charles and me to our 25th class reunion.
Oh, how exciting. Why, aren't you excited?
Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am.
What are you going to wear?
Oh, I don't know. I wanted so much to make a new dress, but there just isn't time.
Oh, Caroline, store-bought, for an occasion such as this?
Well, it's easier said than done.
Oh, nonsense. We can work something out. Now, come over here and see what we just got in.
You wait right here.
Gracie's being a little bit of a pain in the butt. I don't know if you noticed, she kept touching her face. It's kind of, you just stay right here. Nobody, you know. You're just annoying me now.
Here. Aren't these lovely?
Oh, they are. They're lovely.
Oh, Caroline, now no buts. After all, you're going to be representing Walnut Grove. And as I said before, we can work something out. After all, your credit's good here.
Now, it's very funny how quickly everything changes. If you just pay attention to what Harriet has to say.
Oh, they do come dear, don't they?
Oh, now don't pay any attention to the price tag. I tell you what, I'll let you have it for half the price. My dear, you owe it to yourself. Now, I can guarantee you that I will be dressed to the nines when I have my 25th reunion.
So she goes on for about a full minute of laughing, Caroline, and it's a bit much. Like, it's just, I'm like, I get it, but calm down. But I'm fast forwarding a little bit just to kind of get through some of it. But Harriet's not in on the joke, and she's like, "Why are you laughing?" So
yes, I'm thinking how old you were when you graduated. Oh, it's all right. It's an accident.
You're black.
It's all right.
Well, you know, that little accident will just have to go on your bill. And therefore, I'm afraid it's impossible to extend you any credit for a dress.
So it just goes on and on, but I love Harriet's response at the very end.
Me too.
And Caroline is cracking up. It's just like, she's dying.
I know she's Peter Where are you Pants for already. Heaven?
What?
I know she's Peter Pants already.
Just a little bit. Stop that infernal laughing. I suppose you think it's funny, you know. You have no more credit.
Of course it does. Mm. I'm sorry. Good day. Good day.
You know what you are? You're senile.
So, like, what? I looked it up and it doesn't have a different meaning. So I don't know.
Well, because it was all, she was laughing because of the whole age thing. I think she chose the word senile because we usually reference that to a senior citizen. So, right.
So Jonathan takes them to the train. There's no send off from the kids. It's kind of like they're jumping on the train and they're out.
Right.
But here they are kind of cozying up on the train. I don't know how long of a train ride this is, but, you know, this seems like it's a bit of a journey. And here's the little chat.
Charles, 25 years.
Yes, I can believe it. I can believe that's the 10th time you said that.
Caroline's getting on Charles' nerve already.
I am right.
Hand me a sandwich.
Just doesn't seem possible. Oh, where did they all go?
That'll wait. Just looking at you makes it hard to believe. You haven't changed a bit.
This man, so he's just basically laying it on thick. He's very happy to be with his wife, and it's very sweet. We get a beautiful view of the area, I believe in Wisconsin, and I know it's a set, but they try to recreate the little town, the city, and with the fountain. In the background, we have a bakery, and we have a museum of art. And
is that the same fountain they used when they were supposed to be in Chicago?
Yeah.
Seems like they always pull out that same fountain.
Yeah, it really feels like it is. very strange, very strange. But it does feel like it's the same exact fountain. So they walk in, and there's an elevator in the hotel. This is a very, very fancy place.
I think they make reference in there about something about them being new. It's some kind of a newfangled thing, the elevator.
It does become a little bit of a punchline, a little bit. But it's like when a kid goes to a carnival or Disney World or Disneyland or sees a plane take off in front of, or anything that's kind of like amazing. When they're walking by this elevator, they're like, oh my God. I took a screenshot of it. It's just, they really nailed the bewilderment that somebody would have with this modern thing. And Charles just can't take his eyes off of it. It's amazing. But here we are. The country bumpkin are checking in.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we have reservations, Mr. and Mrs. Ingalls.
Mm-hmm. From Walnut Grove, Minnesota.
Yeah, that's us.
Would you be good enough to sign the register, Mr. Ingalls?
Sure.
Caroline Quiner!
Now, that was not her maiden name, Quiner. No. I believe it was Lake, right?
No, she was, according to the TV series, she was Quiner, and then she was Holbrook.
But I believe that in real life, Caroline Ingalls' maiden name was Lake. I'm pretty sure.
No, I don't remember. It's been so long since I've read something about the real Caroline
Ingalls. Oh, no, it does say
Ingalls.
Quiner. What
the? I think she was a Quiner.
I'm gonna do a quick fact check on this. As Arnie basically goes nuts, this guy is out of control.
Yeah, it's just like, well, dude, what have you been popping? And by the way, they are historically accurate regarding the elevator. First electric elevator was built in 1880.
That's interesting.
German inventor Wainer von Siemens. In 1880. I know. Stop. Don't go there. 1889, first commercially successful electric elevator was installed.
And I just want to fact correct my error here. Her middle name was Lake. L-A-K-E, like a body of water.
Okay.
Interesting. So she was born Caroline Lake Quiner.
I wonder. I bet you, back in the day.
Hippie.
And people still do, right? Lake, weed, hey, yeah, it's like sunflower, lake, weed, Quiner. No, but families still do that today where they make the middle name, like previous family members.
Oh, that's
last
true.
Names. You know, that's how they keep up with their family tree.
Well, you know, it's always been interesting to me that Carrie, for instance, is named, her name is Caroline. Was Caroline. Her full right. name was Caroline Celestia Ingalls and Swansea.
Right.
So it's very uncommon, though, to name, you know, a girl after the mother at any point, really.
Yeah, it is. Wow. Those crazy Ingalls people.
Yeah. And you know why they're crazy? Because they know people like Arnie.
Right?
Caroline!
Arnie?
No, you anywhere, Caroline. You ain't changed a bit.
Oh, yes, I have, Arnie. And I'm Carolyn Ingalls now. You remember Charles. Charles, you remember Arnie Cupp.
Well, how am I going to forget Arnie? We got enough trouble together, didn't we? How you doing, Arnie?
Charles, things just couldn't be any better. Real good to see you again.
Good to see you.
How's Hattie?
Absolutely tip-top. She's going to be tickle pink when she finds out you're here, Caroline. Wished I could stay and visit with you. But I got a real important business appointment. Closing the deal to sell 500 acres of my land. Can't wait for that reunion.
This guy is so out of control.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like when you go back home, you run into this guy.
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
Yeah, this guy exists. There's no doubt about it. We all know Arnie. So here we go.
Oh, yes. That's so, you can go back really, really far, but even like on the old Saturday Night Live skit, the guest who wouldn't leave. Yeah, pretty much.
That's Arnie. Yeah. That probably really is Arnie, actually. Yeah.
Right.
But it's Arnie Cupps. So we get a bellhop, which super fancy. He's got his like fez on. And yeah. He got his bright red thing. There's nothing that I guess speaks more of class, I guess, than a bellhop. But I don't know. I always, the times I've been around bellhops, I always feel like I should be carrying my own. Like I'm not worthy of them carrying my bag.
So. Well, I'm sitting here being nosy because this is one of those things that I have issue with. In this episode, this guy is Arnie Cupps, but he's the same guy that play and she is the same woman and he is the same guy that plays the couple whose son is getting married in I Do Again. But I do not believe they're called the Cupps in that episode.
Not
I
just think different characters.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah,
because he's pretty memorable.
it really is. But that's the collapsing of the Little House on the Prairie universe. You know, that's how, you know, the seasons collide.
Yes. So
here we go. The bellhop's grabbing their luggage and they're heading up.
Arnie Cupps was voted most likely to succeed.
Sounds like he did.
Step right in, please.
Don't you have any stairs?
Certainly, sir, but your room is on the seventh floor.
Seven floors.
Wow. A mansion.
Yeah, I know. We'll walk.
Oh, come on, Charles. It'll be fun. All the newest buildings have them.
Carolyn, if you want to get into a little room, so just hanging by that little bitty rope, you can do it. I'm going to walk.
We'll meet you upstairs.
Now, when I first started watching this again, I thought that this was going to turn into Charles being a bummer the whole time.
Right.
And I think that it was going towards that, but they quickly changed it around.
Yeah, they did. They did. Carolyn being that obedient wife, I would have been like, dude, okay, I'll see you on the seventh floor. I would have gotten into the box and just said, the heck with you.
That's what that's what Betsy would do. She'd be like, I'm not walking up seven flights.
Exactly. Like,
I walked in here and I'm getting on the little box being
that's
held up
right.
by a rope.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in they're in a beautiful, beautiful room. Really crazy wallpaper and drapes and curtains. And there's I think it's a full dozen of roses and craziness.
And a little champagne.
Real champagne. I mean, champagne, French champagne. That's very interesting.
Well, champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty fancy.
exactly what I do in a hotel. I just grab my clothes and throw it in the first drawer I see. That's exactly what he just did.
That country charm.
Hey, take a look at this. Somebody sent us a bottle of champagne.
What?
And cards addressed to us. This is from France.
Now, I've never, ever received a bottle of champagne that was not chilled. So that was very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You do not just give a bottle of champagne. You give a bottle of chilled champagne with two champagne flutes. So
I'm right there with you.
I don't know what's going on with Dylan. Dylan Hyde.
He's warm for Caroline.
I think he wanted her to maybe put it on ice for them. Not
right.
Sure.
Dear Caroline, welcome. Dylan Hyde.
Or just welcome Caroline?
Now that also, I do want to, exactly. I do want to mention, this looks like a modern bottle of champagne. I don't think they tried to accurately create anything, which would have been actually relatively easy because it has this white foil on top. And, you know, a bottle of champagne usually has a cork in there. And
right.
It has what's referred to as the cage on top, which forces the... It keeps the cork from popping.
Right.
This is wrapped in a foil, so it's very, very... It's almost like... Is this like a Brut? Or is this like a modern bottle of champagne? Hmm. Would not have been too difficult to... But I need to look that up and see if that was accurate. Just kind of curious.
I know. Well, I am too.
Now I am. Yeah.
Too disappointed when he finds out I'm here.
Charles, he's just trying to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
For you and Mrs. Ingalls, sir.
Thank you. Here, compliments to Dylan Hyde. He's just trying to be nice.
Thank you, sir.
So he hands him the bottle of champagne. What a good tip, you know?
Oh, he's such a smart ass.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, God forbid you keep it and have a nice glass of champagne with your wife. But,
hey, right.
Who am I to judge? So,
very funny. What is it?
Let's see. Mr. and Mrs. Thaddeus M. Sawyer requests the pleasure of your company at a soiree?
Soiree?
I think it's supposed to be soiree.
Country boy.
Well, why don't they spell it that way? All right, soiree, 5 to 9 p.m. this date in the Gold Room.
And again, yeah, this is Charles Ingalls in the big city. This is not the Charles Ingalls that we normally see.
Right, yeah.
He knows soiree. Come on.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing. It's like turning on that dumb country charm.
So they have their little chatter back and forth. We go down and we see some very interesting characters. One guy who's drinking beer out of a huge beer stein.
The Joyman guy.
Very interesting. But Charles puts on his best and he looks great. And so does Caroline. They walk in and... You know, this whole time, I'm thinking, Caroline is so excited to see all of her friends, and Charles just doesn't care. Up to this point, anyway.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he's just, he's polite.
Yeah.
But,
like, all right, let's leave.
We haven't talked about Amy Phillips yet.
Oh, well, yeah, Amy Phillips, you know, she had eyes for Charles, but she was as skinny as a string bean.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Charles Ingalls. I'd know you anywhere. You too, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
you don't recognize me?
And, you know, very lovely looking woman. She's dressed in society clothing.
Oh,
Caroline
yes.
is giving Charles the stink eye. Like, who is this bee? And it's about to, like throw down. Also, I just noticed Caroline is wearing kind of a corsage.
Uh-huh, she is.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I'm afraid I don't.
Amy Phillips.
Amy Phillips? Oh, none I'm other.
Sorry. You just look so different.
Well, small wonder. It's been 25 years. I'm so glad you could come. Both of you. I want you to meet my husband and say hello to some very good friends of yours.
I just took a foot in each wheelbarrow.
The guy who's laughing like that, he's carrying his beer stein everywhere he goes.
Yes.
Now,
it's his beer company.
Well, those early beer steins were painted with lead paint.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't know this. Good. But and very often the tops would be made of pewter, which is lead as well.
Right.
So mm-hmm. you would get lead poisoning from drinking from these beer steins.
Right. Well, and I was doing some research because I've got my little phone in my hand. And, you know, normally I don't research anything when we're recording. But there is a bottle of from the 1800s, so even 80 years before this. And, of course, it's a bottle of Dom Perignon. But it does have a seal on it.
It has like foil.
Yeah, like a foil. Yeah, black. Maybe it's dipped in wax or something because it doesn't look like foil, but it's definitely sealed with something. And it's from 1800, a Dom Perignon Rosé.
Oh, okay. So,
champagne.
It just looked very modern to me.
Yeah, and it probably was. They probably grabbed it
I'm sure.
Shelf at a local store.
Actually, you never know. Like, they'll, like, you know, let's get an $800 bottle of champagne and we'll really drink it, you know.
Exactly.
Instead of drinking, what was it that the cast would drink?
They were always drinking beers. I think Mike was drinking.
Was it like Coors or something? I don't know.
Yeah,
like there was like something where there was a particular beer that they would drink. So
I'm thinking.
Hey, it was very hot out. Very warm. So we have Amy Phillips, and I don't think there's anything really to worry about with Amy. But we're going back and forth. We're talking a little bit. I'll play some of. The chatter going on.
And this is Winthrop Morgan.
Mr. Morgan?
Yes.
And I'm sure you remember Hattie and Arnie Cook.
Oh, sure. We ran in Arnie earlier today. Hattie, how are you?
Hattie? Oh, it's been so long. Too long, Carolyn. And Carolyn, you remember Florence Garner, don't you? Now, Mrs. Jacob Platts.
Florence, it's so good to see you.
Florence is basically the woman in Titanic, the mom.
Oh, Lord. She's got a Cobb crossways. I don't know what her problem is.
She is just... Nellie as a brunette and Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
She does not have any smile lines.
not a one.
No.
Yeah.
Just frown lines.
Just a snotty old.
Yeah.
And she's the one that's married to the obnoxious beer guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, wow, what a pair.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Carolyn! How wonderful to see you, and prettier than ever.
And this is Dylan Hyde, and you just see Charles just dreading. He's like, oh my God. And Dylan is just, he seems like a nice enough guy, but he's so obnoxious, I think, to Charles.
Oh, I think he's incredibly obnoxious, and he's just rude to his wife. And,
yeah. Well, his wife is definitely nursing some issues.
She's self-medicating with food and booze.
Yes.
Oh, Dylan, it's nice to see you, too. Charles, it's Dylan Hyde.
Dylan, nice to see you, Charlie boy.
Charlie boy.
Come on, say hello to the little woman. Excuse us, please.
So, he brings her over to meet his wife, which I think is very fine. You know, it's very polite.
Married a midget.
Clementina, here's Carolyn Quiner.
I didn't catch her name. Something Tina.
It almost sounds like Wilhelmina, but I don't think it's that. But it's something like that.
So, of course, Caroline knows her, and she might even repeat her name. Let's see. That would be a Caroline thing to do, to repeat her name. See, she did repeat it, but I have no idea what she said. But that's a very Caroline move.
Well, they're talking smack about her in the hotel room later. So.
Yeah.
Maybe she says her name again. little behind the scenes smack. I mean, she's talking smack in a Carolyn way.
Well, yeah, no, there's nothing wrong with, I think, what they were saying. It's just,
no, there's not. Because some people would have gone, can you believe what a fat cow? Except Carolyn's just like, she used to take such good care of herself. And that's all she said. You know, that's about all she says.
So they're talking about how many acres and how much land they have. I mean, these are all farmers, but they might be more industrial farmers.
Sawyer, right. As the owner of 15,000 acres growing wheat and corn and running cattle, I use a lot of heavy machinery. How big's your spread, Charles?
Well, mine? About 160 acres.
How can you make a decent living with such a small place?
We manage quite nicely, Mrs. Potts.
Mrs. Potts.
Yeah.
And she's having her little finger sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Nibbling on the edge of it.
Harriet would love her.
Right. Oh, yeah. They'd be in the corner, sister friends.
No, I don't Absolutely. Think she would give Harriet the time of day.
Oh, you know, well, yeah. Yeah, she probably wouldn't. You're right. You're right.
Now, there's one interesting shot where we are at the on the balcony, and we have Caroline Quiner and Dylan having a bit of a private talk. And I just thought this was, all right, they're old friends, but at the same time, it's really just extremely intimate for two married
Gail
people.
Gail Gerard.
She wishes, but stuck with this old coot.
Right. He's trying to be a handyman.
And I still don't hate the guy. You know, the guy is obnoxious a little bit, but I don't hate him at this point. Arnie comes in and basically
give him time.
It won't take too much long. 10 more minutes. But right. Arnie comes out and we learn a little bit about Arnie.
Kinda embarrassing, Dylan. I feel like a hick. Some slicker stole my wallet. Could you lend me $100 just till the bank opens?
No problem, honey.
Much obliged.
So, it's a lot of money to borrow.
Yeah, back then. I mean, it's a lot of money today to borrow, but
yeah, I mean, that's
back then.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about, it's about $2,500, you know, so it's not exactly a tiny loan.
And they're recycling the music. That's the same waltz music from the infamous John Cheating on Mary episode.
That's what this entire episode reminds me of, is the cotillion.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm sure that we've definitely recycled quite a bit here. Charles quickly starts losing interest in the party. Just like a lot of people who might be in a situation that they are uncomfortable in, they want to get out of it.
I feel like a fish out of water. Can you slip out of here?
Oh, Charlie.
Nobody's going to miss us. Believe me, they're all inside telling each other how rich they are.
Well, I wanted to talk to Hattie.
Well, there'll be plenty of time for that. We're going to be here for 3 more days. Come on.
All right. But we should say goodnight to our hosts.
Anything to get away from all this pomp and circumstance.
No, it's fine and dandy to, like, you know, talk crap and everything, but he shouldn't be getting in the way of her having fun.
Oh, I know. It's just like, why don't you go up to the room and I'll come let you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which would have, yeah. And, you know, of course, she would slip up with, probably end up in Arnie's bed that night. He does have $100 of cash. Just, who knows what he's buying.
That's right.
Buy bottles of champagne.
Who knows whose dresser he's leaving it on? Yeah.
So they're exiting a party. We've all been in situations like this where you're like, all right, I got to get out of here. I can't deal with this. And the worst possible person spots you as you're trying to exit. And I understand Charles in this situation because I've been the guy who is the first person to leave. I don't know.
You potty pooper.
Yeah. It's like, you know, yeah. Hey, if I leave, you'll probably have a better time. It's usually what I'll tell people.
We've come to say goodnight, and you're not leaving so soon.
The fun's just beginning.
Well, we've had a long trip.
Well, if you're tired, Charlie boy, maybe Carolyn would like to stay.
I'm tired, too.
Oh, Well, then, how about coming over to my place tomorrow afternoon? Stay for supper.
Oh, I'd like to. Wouldn't you, Charles?
I'd like to, but the convention.
Now, after the convention, we only have a morning session. Business before pleasure.
Yeah, well, I don't...
Oh, please come. We'll be there, too. It'll give us all a chance to talk.
I won't take no for an answer.
All right, we'll be glad to.
Good. I'll send a carriage about 2 o'clock.
Fine. Good night, then.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Sending a carriage, huh?
She just shades Charles. She's just like, oh, that sounds great. And Charles just like, seriously.
She did the right thing. She, I mean, sometimes you have to just take control of your man.
That's and, right.
Look, this is what you want to do. This is, you didn't just travel, you know, what, 80 miles to just
to sit in the hotel room while Charles is doing the Grange thing. I know it. I love Amy Phillips. Oh, we'll be there too.
You didn't Please just travel 80 miles just to go and travel for 12 weeks back, you know?
Exactly. I felt like Amy was going to say, please come. We'll be there too. It'll give me a chance to squeeze your biceps or
took us. Their bed talk, I think, is so boring. So I know that you mentioned that they kind of talk a little bit of crap, but it's just a little smack. It's nothing major. Now, the next thing that's happening, they come back to the room after having breakfast. And I'm just going to play it and I'm going to stop it for a reason.
Well, that was a nice breakfast.
Suppose, but there was of it.
See, all right. So it wasn't like a huge breakfast for Charles, but there's nothing better than a hotel breakfast at a good hotel. Now, you are going to be traveling to Pennsylvania, which is the epicenter of the best breakfasts and dinners and all of this type of thing having to do with visiting the Amish area and all this like home cooking and everything. So it totally reminded me of that. And I think you're going to just love it, even though like you're a Texan, no offense. No, I'm just kidding. No, but you're a Texan.
But
so,
I'm
mean,
born a Yankee. So,
no, yeah, it's true.
Back up on that a little bit. No, but, Chicago girl, Chi-Town girl.
But you're a Texan.
Yes, I am.
No, but, you're barbecue in your blood. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things. So you come, you know, it's, but when you go there, it's just totally different type of food. It's really amazing. So you're definitely going to have this moment when you come back to your hotel room and be like, now it's quite a breakfast. And you'll be like, I got to lay down.
Probably.
All right, here we go.
It's a letter for you.
It's another invitation.
To Amy Phillips' bedroom.
Yeah, right. It's a drawing of her in a brassiere.
Good, it's not. I'm having a pre-convention meeting in Minnesota Grange this morning at 9 o'clock. Isn't that Winthrop Morgan, the fellow we met last night?
What does he do?
I don't know. Something to do with the Grange. By the way he talks, I don't think he much agrees with us. Must be on the way.
Mm.
Got any plans?
Yes. I'm going sightseeing with Hattie Simpson. Oh, there, now I'm doing it. Hattie Cups, I mean.
You're my best. Have a good time.
Oh, Charles, don't forget we're going to the Hides this afternoon.
How could I forget?
Charles.
Oh, boy. That was a weird exit, I think. That was a very emotionless exit. Poorly done, sir. Poorly done. All right. So we're getting down to business. This is where, you know, we came to make money. So this is where the business is. This is about a 2-minute little clip. I'm just going to play the whole thing, though. That's all right.
All righty.
So what I'm asking is for the farmers to vote against this scheme for a national cooperative.
You ain't given us any good reason yet why we should.
Well, I've already given you the best reason. It's impractical. It won't work.
What is the official Grange position? Who do you represent, anyway?
The farmers' best interests.
Can you be a little more specific than that?
Well, actually, I represent the National Farm Machinery Retailers Association.
Now, wait a minute! Wait a minute! Hear me out! I've got a proposition for you!
Now, let's listen. That's what we're here for.
Charles is right. It won't cost us nothing.
Now, the retailers are prepared to offer the farmers a 10% discount on all the machinery they buy.
Bull! You can mark up the price as much as you want and say you're taking off 10%.
Now, don't be stupid! Even if you could get some of the manufacturers to go along with you, which you can't, the co-ops won't work.
Why not?
Because the retailers are prepared to undersell the grain.
So, of course, they're putting the fear that you're going to get undercut, you better not do this, and...
Right.
Yeah, it's like a poker game, really.
Yeah.
And you have to figure out who's bluffing who. And I guess at this point, we're not really sure. But this all really happened, you know, like this type of thing. And it just seems as though Charles is a voice of reason. He seems to be leading the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But they're calling the guy out. Yeah, right. They're calling him out. And it just, this guy who's basically was just giving this speech is really supposed to have sold it, but it doesn't seem as though.
No.
So we get to Dylan's chalet. I don't know.
Estate,
exactly.
Yes.
And they come in with a really nice carriage with leather seats and like the Tesla wagon or something. It's really nice.
Yes.
And here we go.
Welcome to the Willows, Carolyn.
Is it Charlie?
It's Charles.
Yeah, well, but you're not wearing riding clothes.
Oh, no. I don't ride. At least not that kind of a horse.
What about you, Charlie?
It's still Charles, and these are my riding clothes.
What kind of horse would she ride?
Yeah, I don't know. A loping one?
Yeah, like
a
mule
or something? Yeah, right.
A dirtier one? Like a less groomed? Country lady? I don't know. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
And also my walking clothes, and when they get all worn out, they're going to be my working clothes.
Well, do you feel up to that much horse?
I'm sure he can. I'll ride with you, Charles.
Amy, sure, I think it's a little too much horse for him.
Oh, that's it. You know, it's like he's calling them Yella.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much horse for you, Charlie.
Charlie boy.
Oh, I think I can sign. You like that?
I mean, they even have like, it's just, this is like genuine wealth that these guys have. You know, they have many employees, and the horses don't look huge, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Oh, I thought the one that Charles got in, I mean, it's been a little while since I've seen this episode, but I always thought that horse that he got up on was, pretty big.
Hmm.
Pretty big horse to me.
I guess all horses are a little bit large to me. I'm just I'm kind of afraid of them.
Well, I mean, there's reason to be afraid of them. My gosh, they're huge, muscular animals that can stomp you to death.
Well, I don't like creatures that have such large eyes. Usually means they're a lot smarter. So, so we have Dylan and Caroline alone, which is probably Dylan's plan from the very beginning.
Oh, yes.
And Caroline just seems to be going along with it. So let's, but you know, at the same time, she's just being Caroline.
Yeah.
Caroline, how about taking a ride with me in the carriage? I'd like to show you around the Willows. I won't take no for an answer.
That seems to be his mantra. He doesn't like to take no for an answer.
Exactly.
Which is a very dangerous statement to make, especially when you're saying it to the wife of Charles Ingalls.
Exactly. Yes.
And his wife is in the background just kind of seeing it happen and...
Is she still sloshing down champagne?
Oh, yeah. She's with somebody, but he's just kind of giving her the I feel so bad for you kind of look.
Yeah.
So so Charles and Alice, I believe it was, go and they find a nice scenic spot to park their horses. I think you park horses. I'm not really sure.
And they
they're grazing. Oh, it's Amy. Amy, not Alice. Amy Phillips. And
she wanted to ride Charles. I mean, ride with Charles. I'm sorry.
Watch it now. But that's in the outtakes. So
yeah,
they're basically watching the ducks, and they're going to sit down and they're going to play.
I think those horses are happy to take a breather.
Have a seat.
All right, don't mind if I do.
I've thought about you over the years.
That's usually not something that you need to hear. It's
right.
Definitely, you know, it's going down a very strange path immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Often.
Me?
Yes. I was always interested in you.
Again, this gets weirder and weirder. Strange. It's still somewhat innocent. You could still turn it around really quickly.
Yep.
But no.
Haven't always wondered what became of turn yet.
Now you know. I'm a farmer, and I've got 5 children. How about you? Any family?
No. No children. Not really much of a marriage, either.
Oh!
That is where it was business.
Yeah, a little TMI right there, but hey, you know.
There's more than he is to me these days.
Now, if he had the mailing address of the handyman of Gil Gerard, this could be a real romance. But no.
Oh, my stars.
I envy you. Carolyn, most of all. You have nice hands.
Uh-oh.
Lord.
Gentle, but strong. I like that.
Now, a weaker man might fall for this, but Charles Ingalls has pretty much an award-winning line right here.
So strong.
That's from shoveling manure. I think the horse have had enough rest. I'll cinch up your saddle.
What is that all about? Cinch up your saddle.
That's what I was going to say. That sounds suggestive. I'm going to go cinch up your
What's
saddle.
What's Charles talking about here? Jeez. Meanwhile, we're like, you know, on the other side of the estate, or on the eastern side, where we could see hills in the background. It's definitely California. But the grass is green. And if you look, the grass is beautifully mowed. You could see the lines where the mower
did. Right.
It is. I guess they had mowers back then. Strange. But here we are. We're kind of just taking a ride at the hot spots. And the carriage they're in is really nice. It has a lantern. It has like a really nice roof. The wagon wheels are red, and it even looks like it might even have a pretty modern brake system. Not bad at all.
Mm-mm. Oh. There. Well, what do you think of the Willows so far?
Oh, it's very lovely.
Do you ever get up to Milwaukee?
No. I haven't been here since my folks went through on their way to the big woods.
That's too bad.
Why?
Well, I'd like to show you the high spots.
I'm sure Charles would like it, but he really doesn't have much free time.
Well, I wasn't really talking about Charles. Like to show you the high spots.
And he slides up a little bit closer. And she's like, what am I? She's like, you can see she's fumbling through her purse to get her little revolver. Her little pistola. So,
gosh. She's a snake.
Wouldn't have to worry about train fare or place to stay.
You know, Dylan, Charles was right.
Now, this is a great line as well. They really got some excellent lines in for these two Ingalls.
Yes, they did.
Dopes.
Mm-hmm.
You are a pain in the butt.
The music. Dum, 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 dum.
Right.
Come on.
I'll say this much. The guy's a sleazebag, but at least he takes rejection well. It's like not like he like turned around and said, well, you smell like manure, like your husband.
Exactly. Or throw her out of the way. Just you just find your own way back.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, I mean.
You led me on.
You led me on. Look what you're wearing. You know, I can see your ear. You're showing off your whole ear.
That's right.
So here we are.
Saucy wench.
Yeah. So we have Charles complaining about nice things here. This is a very long clip, but I'm going to play it. This is pretty much the last long clip. So I'm just going to, I think it's worth it. This is a very, very sweet scene, I think, anyway. And I don't know. It shows the kind of strength that these two have in marriage. And I don't know. All in all, I didn't remember this scene. And when I just rewatched it a couple times, I thought, this is a really, really powerful scene, especially for people who had something like this happen. You know, a lot of people had this type of stuff happen. So they stuck together and they're not even sharing that, you know, it's not even, they're not even sitting there, but Caroline is clearly very upset and he probably thinks it's because, you know what? They're both preoccupied with these terrible situations and scenarios that were created in front of them.
Uh-huh. So,
they're just kind of self-absorbed a little bit, maybe. So here we go.
Tell you, I didn't care much for that food today. I think with a foreign name, all kinds of funny sauces on it, you never know what you're eating.
Funny sauce.
Do you like it?
Not really.
Well, just one more day. Last session of the convention, class reunion, then back some good home cooking. And digging out the stumps, right?
Uh-huh.
It's them, isn't it? What's happened to them?
I don't know. They're all so... so different from what I expected. Just kind of makes you wonder what happens to people. Could it happen to us?
Well, it kind of only happens when you're rich. So, no, it's not going to happen. It's kind of like what should have been said.
Oh, I mean, they're all rich and successful, but...
What is that supposed to mean? When I'm not successful?
Yeah. None of them seems very happy with what they've got. Except maybe Hattie and Arnie.
Proving, I'd say, that... body can be happier living in one room with someone they love than in a palace with someone they don't. That's never going to happen to us. Because I love you. And I really love you. And without you, I'm nothing. You hear me? I'm a farmer and I love it. And I'm a father, and I love it. And best of all, I'm married to Carolyn Ingalls, and I love her. I love you, babe.
The harp. So, I think that this is a very underrated scene. This is not a scene we hear about very often.
Yeah, we really don't, and it's...
We don't get these intimate moments with them very often.
Yeah, I don't want to say that it's not a Little House moment, because it's very endearing and very personal, but you're right, we don't...
It's also a very modern conversation they're having, you know, about like how people... grow up and they change. And I can't help but wonder if, of course, Michael Landon was talking about his own life here, which is has happened in the past, I'm sure.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
some semblance sure. of that. But yeah. There's something there, and I thought this is a very serious and very, very sweet scene, and I love the fact that it's so well written that now we get a little bit of a comic relief, but it's not that funny, but it's enough. It's chuckly.
And I know it's the spur of the moment, but I'm going to pop the question. Will you marry me?
I thought you'd never ask.
Now he turns
so
off.
Sweet.
Now he goes and he turns off the lantern.
It's popcorn time. You're,
no, they didn't have a microwave in the room, so he turns off the lantern, but it goes out like a light bulb, which I thought was kind of strange, like a dimming light bulb. So I have to wonder if that was a real lantern.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but that I think. I mean, even with all the jokes and stuff we make about the popcorn, mm-hmm. but I think that's probably, other than the real early episode where they were camping and Carolyn, you could see her naked shoulder up above the blanket, that's probably yeah. the sexiest that Charles and I mean, because you know as well as I do the insinuation of the light going out.
Yes, of course. Know.
Right.
It's time for bed.
And, yeah.
But, you know, this is, I'd say, just as intimate or... It's not really, not the word intimate I'm looking for. It's, you know, we have a Caroline, her hair is down. She's in her, you know, nightdress and all that stuff. It's almost like we don't see this Caroline very often. The person we do see it, of course, was in The Handyman.
Right. Well, and then there's that one evening when Carolyn Charles was already in bed. And Carolyn was getting ready to go to bed. And she's sitting there at her little... bench brushing out her hair and squirting mm-hmm. a little perfume on her pajamas and stuff. You were like, oh,
what's that for?
Yeah. I can't remember what episode that is right now off the top of my head, but it's like, oh, Carolyn feeling a little frisky tonight.
Maybe you should spray a little bit of that perfume into Carrie's wall. the smell is horrendous. Oh, I think somebody crawled in there and I think
right.
the raccoon or something went in there and died.
Oh my gosh.
So they voted for the co-ops. Spoiler alert, they voted for the co-ops. They're the corporations are mad. They're saying you're going to be a big failure. Not that big of a deal. It's historically accurate. It's interesting. But one thing we get to see is an ice sculpture and all this like fancy food in the background.
Oh, yeah.
The waiter's walking around with something that looks to me to be maybe a wedge salad of some sort. And it looks like there's a cherry tomato on each one. And were there cherry tomatoes in North America in the 1880s? I have to wonder. I did a quick search and I couldn't find any evidence that there weren't, but I couldn't find any that there were.
So huh.
If you're listening to this and you know that. They were cherry tomatoes. Were they popular or anything? I would imagine that cherry tomatoes were not really used for much of anything until, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well into the 20th century.
Anyway, yeah, I wouldn't think so either.
Not that important. But
cherry tomato mystery.
Yeah, right. So we get further and Dylan enters the scene. Dylan's always impeccably dressed. He's wearing a type of tuxedo. It's gray and black. He has his tails on. He has pinstripes.
And he have Elvis sideburns.
You know what's weird with him? His hair is cut around the ear, like a hair helmet.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. He has a good, I'd say, a half an inch between hair and ear. Very strange.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Mind if I get in, Charlie White?
I'm just going to explain what's going on. He walks up to cut in and dance with Caroline. and says, "Cut in, Charlie boy." And Charles does not seem too happy about this.
Fact of an idea. When your partner is asked politely for a dance, I believe it is etiquette to honor the request.
I never said I had etiquette. You should dance with your own wife.
It's like, how bourgeois. So
I almost get the impression, though, that he and Carolyn spilled the beans to each other about the other people coming on to them
a little bit. I kind of get a semblance of it. Sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like Charles would have knocked him out at some point or said something. Would have given
him
a very interesting finger wagging.
Yeah.
What's interesting is Dylan's wife overhears it, and Dylan's wife has had a couple because it's, you know, she's awake, and I don't hate her, but she's a real wise ass. And
yeah, she is.
When she has a few, she's the life of the party.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we go. She's starting to make a scene. So Dylan grabs her and walks her into the other room, and Arnie is sitting at the table.
Dylan, Platts had to leave. Hope you don't mind.
Sit down. And stay down.
Take it easy, Dylan.
Well, you take whatever you can get.
What do you mean?
I mean, where's the $100 you borrowed from me?
Oh, snap.
The banks have been open for 2 days.
What? Slipped my mind, Dylan.
More like you thought it had slipped mine.
Please, Dylan, I'm sorry. I'll pay you back, I promise. I just didn't think things would be so expensive here.
He's a four-flusher, you know. All this bragging about owning 15,000 acres.
He's a four-flusher? What is... Do you know what that is? I mean,
Well, it's not good.
Four-flusher. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. But he basically calls him out. He is. He doesn't have nearly as much land as he claimed to. Still has much more than I do. And should be proud of that.
Well, I checked. All he's got is a measly 50 acres of rock and scrub.
You don't have to worry about your money, Dylan. I never reneged on a debt in my life. I'll pay you back every penny.
How? You're just a poor dirt farmer. You're nothing.
He shoves him, into the poor waiter. And it's just, the whole thing is so dramatic. And the quartet, not really an orchestra. I don't know what they are, but they stop. They never should stop. That's what's so strange.
Right.
Who do you think you're talking to, Charlie?
Watch what you're taking hold of, Dylan. I've been working hard for 25 years.
Now, this is a great line, because he goes and Dylan grabs Charles by the arm. And he's basically saying, you know, realize that I could beat the crap out of you. It's like I'm a lot stronger than you.
Right.
It's like, feel my arm. You know, that's right up there with, you know, taking his shirt off. Now, do you happen to have the video in front of you by any chance on?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Caroline,
I was looking up four flusher.
Caroline is in the background just kind of looking at this happen. Just looking at Charles kind of like, this man, she's in love with this guy. It's such a great little scene. But
go get him, Charles.
Charles is always the guy who helps them up. Always.
Right. Oh, yeah, always.
Yeah. So in the worst case scenario, what happens? The drunk wife, of course, starts getting even louder.
Yeah.
She's like, let me see if I can totally destroy him now.
Right.
You're scared of him. Dylan Hyde is scared of a poor dirt farmer.
Shut up.
Make me.
You're nothing. Oh, you're rich. You're very rich. But what good is it? What good is all your money? You and me.
Now, I don't know if we've ever seen this type of attack on a woman in, well, we of course have seen attacks on women in Little House, but we get a full smack across this woman's face.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what?
Right off.
It's like, you know what? I get it. She's being a loudmouth and she's really calling out in front of everybody and she's kind of 100% right. But you're going to hit her in front of everyone? It's like, what are you doing?
We've got nothing. We're nothing.
And Charles gives him a punch in the gut.
Boom.
I've taken another screenshot of this, but he punches him in the gut, and it's like, and he goes down right away, of course. Yeah,
of course.
That's, have you ever seen him box? I mean, you don't mess with Charles Ingalls.
No, you do not.
And you certainly don't mess with a woman in front of Charles Ingalls. So,
that would be a great screenshot with like a Batman balloon thing of, you know, ooh, for kapow.
Well, I just took a screenshot of the expression of the waiter in the background. He's like, what? What's going on? Am I still going to get my tip?
So they've hurt Buddy. Come on, girls. I'm sorry, Blazing Saddles.
I haven't seen Blazing Saddles in so long.
Oh my gosh.
So, you know, it's one of those things where Charles, I kind of would have liked to see him clock him in the face and get a little bit of the blood coming out of the mouth. Yeah. That would have been
nice. I would have liked it. I would have enjoyed that.
Or like, you knocked my tooth out, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But he gave him the gut punch, which is just as effective, of course. And he went down like a sack of potatoes.
The name's Charles, Dave.
The name's Charles.
Mm.
So,
Charles Ingalls.
So they're out of here. They're like, let's go. Caroline's sleeping in the most rickety ride home. And
yes.
She's like, and he's like, we're almost home. And according to Laura, home is the nicest word there is.
Yes.
So they get home and they see their little house. And here it is. All the kids are coming out to greet them. And this is all they wanted.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if that's not successful, I don't know what is.
Very sweet. It's weird, too, because their grass kind of stops at one point. It's very strange.
Right. But I love that scene. I love the way that Carolyn throws her arms up. I think her bonnet may even fall down off the back of her head.
I'll play the music. I'll tell you. No, it didn't. But, I mean, it's definitely a sweet little moment. And a well-done episode, I have to say. I really enjoyed this episode. This is one of the few times I don't see any animals outside the house. There's no... The dog didn't come out.
No.
There's no extra horses. I don't see the horses. I mean, I see the outhouse.
That would have added an extra family level if Bandit had come. Because Jack's long dead by now, right? Well,
it would have been nice to have them both come out.
Yeah. It would have been.
The ghost. The ghost. But, you know, I thought this was a very sweet episode, and it's an episode that was really kind of off my radar. This was not one that was in syndication a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, I really like, because when I was sitting here thinking, had I graduated from high school, it would have been in 1979. So, because I dropped out, I don't get invitations to my class reunions, mm-hmm. and I'm really kind of glad that I don't know if I'd want to. I mean, I guess that's kind of a glass half empty mm-hmm. feeling instead of glass half full, but it would be heartbreaking to remember I've only bumped into one person from high school of a church that I used to go to, and I got to talking with this guy and his wife and his two little kids there, and somehow we got on the subject of Westchester Senior High School or Junior High School, and this guy, he was the big crush of my bestie, Gina, and his name was Greg, and when we knew him, he was like the completely lean, eternally tan, sunstreaked hair.
Right, he was the hunk of the school.
Yeah, and this, now he looked like Fred Flintstone, and I was just like, I mean, he was sweet as he, but it was just like,
yeah, time is a tough thing, you know. Now, I moved away from here, but I am back where I grew up, you know, so I see people I graduated high school with all the time, you know, I live next door to them, you know, I'll go to shopping and I'll be like, holy crap, I haven't seen you in 3 weeks, you know, because it's like I see these people all the time. And wow. I've gone to my reunions, and it's always weird. It's always strange. People who are melodramatic, half the people are kind of full of crap or whatever. Or
right.
But I don't know. I think that it's interesting to do that, but it's a strange type of thing to see these people after a period of time. Because when I first moved back to this area, I started seeing all these people. I'm like, wow, this is just crazy.
And I guess I'm afraid I'd end up in bed crying like Carolyn and going, what in the heck happened to... I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've never had any desire.
There's nothing wrong with that either, I think. Yeah. I don't... you know, it's... Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think it's weird, though, that I somehow ended up back where I grew up. So, and so many people just stayed here. It's very strange. It's a multiple generation area, I guess.
But, wow. Yeah.
But that's okay, you know. But all in all, I think that when you do go back, you can see how much you've grown and how different you really are. And I think that's what's interesting. And I don't think you'd have to go to a high school reunion to achieve that. You know, you can just kind of go back to your hometown and
wonder if it has anything to do with your high school experience. I guess because my high school experience was less than positive, that maybe I just never, you know, I never made connection with a lot of people. Right. The people I were friends with were kind of nerdy.
Oh yeah, that doesn't sound like me at all.
Or the kids that skip school or whatever. So it's like I never really made any.
Well, it wasn't deep your place. Connections. It wasn't your. It wasn't not a magical place for you, the way it was for so many people, and it really wasn't for me as you know so much because. You know, I lost connection with the majority of these people. It's just the fact that I moved back. I didn't move back because of them. We moved back because of the school system. But it's very strange to run into some of these people.
I bet.
Some people age better than others, of course. And it's a very strange.
My brother goes to his all the time. And it's just like, you know, my brother's had a very difficult life. And all of his small circle of three, you know, people that I knew because he and I were only 2 years apart, Jeff and Mike and, you know, Mark and all these people, it's like they're all disgustingly, very similar to this episode, they're all very, 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 very well-off people with, like, lake houses and, you know, Mercedes and this, that,
well, you can't just compare that type of thing, and I think that's what's so important about this episode. Is you just, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? So.
Oh, yeah. And I completely agree with Charles. It's like, I would much rather, I'm never going to be one of those women that marries for money. I've always been one of those women that marries for love. And I would rather be in a shack with somebody that I love than a mansion with somebody that I couldn't stand. So,
Well, again, I want to offer my congratulations to your engagement. So
I'm so excited.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't you be? That it's incredible. No, it's an incredible experience. But Susan, I want to thank you so much for getting together and doing this episode. It was a lot of fun. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting One Up Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/OneUpGrovecast. Any support is appreciated.